At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Any college baseball fans out there, if you're traveling to see your team and need a place to stay, two words for you, Graduate Hotels.
We stayed at the Nashville location for the SEC tournament. It was awesome. Beautiful rooms, cool vibe, and perfect location. They have over 30 hotels in the best college towns, and get this, they'll give you up to 30% off your stay with code CRSHOW. That's CRSHOW. Good at any Graduate Hotel, any location, up to 30% off. Book today at graduatehotels.com.
Hey, it's Covino and Rich. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires.
Like the highly consumer-rated Kumho Majesty 9 Solus TA91. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive.
Go to TireRack.com/sports. That's TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Best of Covino and Rich podcast. Be sure to catch us live every day from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, 2 to 4 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio.
Find your local station for Covino and Rich at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Before we get to Joe Namath, and I like to call it it's like the one-time doozy. Joe Namath is getting by on one amazing story.
There's a silver lining to the one-time doozy, though. The one-season wonder. It stands out and it's memorable.
Yeah.
My worst analogy ever is my Uncle Tommy, who really didn't do a lot for me. Great guy, but never, like, did anything
with
me.
Not the most present uncle.
No. I mean, he's a nice guy. Like, one of the nicest guys, but never, like, took me anywhere. But he took me to see Bambi when I was a kid, and I'll never forget it. You know why? The one time. My Aunt Googie, right? She played basketball with me one time as a kid. When you're spoiled, you forget all the other times. I'll bring it into sports. As a Yankees fan, a lot of those memories
are jumbled up. Oh, this is so frustrating. Up. I hate this.
No, because they're jumbled up, right?
Was that
96 or 98?
Danny, it's...
Man, I'm not sure.
I was about to
curse.
But
if your team only won in your lifetime one time, man, you remember everything about it because you saw those highlights over and over.
Yo, it's
and
the
like,
worst.
It's like all the Dodger division titles that I get jumbled together.
Yeah, dude, it's the worst.
I wish they were World
Series
championships.
The silver lining is, though, the one-time doozies more memorable sometimes, and Joe Namath may reap the benefits of that.
He could be the king of the one-time doozy, as you're calling it. So
the one-season wonder.
We'll get to that in a second, but that is so ultimately frustrating. If you're like a Patriots fan or a Yankees fan back in the 90s, when you say things like, I forgot what World Series that was. Wait, what Super Bowl was that? Do you know how arrogant and annoying that sounds to fans that are thirsty for any of their teams to win anything? When Covino will say, like, was it 96 or 98 when I went to game 6? I'm like,
you ever hear your parents? What? You ever hear your parents talk about, like, their high school boyfriend or girlfriend and how they look back so fondly and they remember all these things? It's like, yeah, because you got married right after that and that's all you remember.
You had like two people. You dated two people, I mean, before dad.
Unfortunately, I've had lots, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, I've had lots of girlfriends.
I'll be honest, I forget that. There's probably people that I forgot I slept with.
So
there's probably,
again, not as near and dear
as the
memories of the one time.
The daggers that Monty just looked at me like I was like a Garbaggio.
Literally half listening to you guys because I was doing my research, got my hair. And then I hear you say that and I stopped in my tracks.
Yeah.
Rich is a human walking eye roll, Monty.
The longer
you hang out with him, the more you realize.
Monty, truth is, I've always been very respectful to women I've dated and hooked up with.
But you just don't remember them.
But there are times where it's like, if some girl's like, yeah, we slept together in 07, I'd be like, that's fantastic. Was I good?
Well, in your defense, Rich, you know, you do have dad brain now. So
yeah, that's what I'll be.
That's what it is.
Living a different life now, Monty. I'm a dad.
Yeah. You know, clearly you've lived the life.
Oy, no, well, but if you've only had like one other girlfriend or one other sexual experience, you're going to remember that and cherish it and, you know, think about that all the time. You put it on the pedestal. It's the one-time doozy.
Do you think Ozzie Smith remembers every flipping catch he made in the 80s?
No.
But if you made
right,
one catch.
That's the same. That's the same.
When you say flipping, are you trying to keep it clean because we're on terrestrial radio right now?
I know. He would flip. the Wizard of Oz. Monty, do you think Tom Brady has, you think Tom Brady, who has been to 10 Super Bowls, you don't think he could jumble some of those memories more than the guy that's been to one Super Bowl?
No, of course. I hear what you're saying.
So the guy that's been with like one woman is going to remember every detail. Now, the guy that was a little bit of a,
you don't even have to be a lady killer. I mean, if you were single for a while, you've dated probably a few people. It's not a bad thing.
I guess just admitting that you might not remember is what stopped me in my tracks.
That's Rich Davis for you. I just want people to know the difference.
He remembers his penicillin shots, though.
Yeah,
hey,
he remembers that.
Everything's curable, Danny. most things. All right, anyway, back to the topic at hand. We're going to get to Namath and his one-time doozy in a second, but there's a story that I think is beautiful, Monty. I'm not all sleaze. I'm romance. I don't know if you know.
I believe that.
Lance romance.
Yeah.
By the way, we are talking romance later on, so don't worry.
You got more romance?
We're bringing the love stories later for sure.
Well, fantastic. Because there's a story right now that I find to be beautiful. And it has to do with shooting your shot and love. There's a tennis star.
To be loved. To be loved. What a feeling, Rich.
Willie Nelson. Julio. Who's Enrique's dad? Is it Julio Iglesias?
Yes.
Yeah. Why did that sounded weird for a second. To all the girls I've loved before. There is a woman that has won 2 Grand Slam championships. The only person, in fact, to ever beat Serena and Venus Williams.
Yeah, let's hear you pronounce her name.
In a Grand Slam. And her name is Garbiñe Muguruza.
You got it. 2-time Grand Slam champion. And you know what?
Gesundheit.
Before we even dive into this story.
Of romance?
A woman, the only woman who beat Serena and Venus. We should all know her name.
Well, that's a great trivia question that you will hear at a bar night, and you'll thank Kavino and Rich one day to be like, what's that girl? Oh, Garbiñe Muguruza. She's the one woman to have ever overpowered Serena and Venus in Grand Slam championships. So here's where I bring it up. Back in 2021, which is only 2 years ago, but we remember the story because I feel like we have talked about it. Everyone remembers the story. Monty, do you remember the story about a fan went up to her and said, could I take a selfie? And then he asked her on a date.
Yes.
Well, fast forward 2 years later, not only have they dated, they are now engaged. How about that? So this guy shot his shot.
Please point out that this fan is not like you or me.
Well, maybe not you.
Definitely not you. This guy's like a fashion model.
Oh,
like he's not just some schlub that approached her.
Not just
her,
a fan, a local, a peasant.
Right.
I looked at him spot. I'm like, this guy sort of looks like me a little. So anyway,
Monty, take a look.
No, anyway, this guy
I don't think that matters too much. I mean, it does. Adds to the story.
It does.
But
no, it does.
There's a lot of schlubs out there with beautiful women because they shot their shot.
Kavino. Spot points his head a lot, and he's truthful when he says this. Spot will always say the difference between creepy and, oh my God, that's so cute, is how good looking the guy is.
Oh, absolutely.
The same guy, two guys could do the same thing. One could be called, what a creep.
Yeah, but women have way more character than men for the most part. There's a lot of beautiful women with
mutants.
Yes.
Well,
mediocre guys.
Garbiñe.
And I didn't say mediocre, I said mediocre guys.
Garbiñe Muguruza is a 2-time Grand Slam champion who is marrying a guy who at one point met her by asking for a selfie. And I just think that's a beautiful story of shooting your shot. But then my follow-up question hits a lot of guys in the ego. And what do we know on this show? Your ego is not your amigo.
Sometimes it is. But most of the time it's not.
Do you think a lot of guys could date a woman that is so athletically and physically superior to them? Like, if you're a guy that's like, I played high school or football or baseball in college. If you're a guy that's like,
well, you got to think about what comes along with that type of woman. right? Is that something you're willing to... I don't want to say deal with.
I guess it's deal with, in a bad way.
Yeah, I don't mean it in a bad way.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
Something comes along with
argument,
that type of woman.
Does she get you in a headlock?
Yeah, I don't know if I could. I don't know if I can, you know, date Ronda Rousey, knowing that if I mouth off or if I say something wrong, she might kill me.
Right.
Like I don't want to put words in your mouth, Rich, but I know that Rich butt heads. And correct me if I'm wrong. This is from my memory.
Yeah.
Okay. With a woman who dated who would challenge him with her sports knowledge. And I'm not saying women don't have sports knowledge, but I'm saying she would challenge you and you'd fight about, like, relationships are tough already, right?
Yeah.
So imagine now you're fighting about the Mets. Like, that's not something you want to add to your list of arguments.
And you know, it's interesting. If you date a woman who is abnormally athletic, I love the competitive side of men or women that, you know, I'm drawn to friends and, you know, partners over the years. Before I met my wife, I like people that are very competitive. I think that's an attractive quality in a friend and a partner. So I think that's a cool part of dating someone.
A next level athlete.
But I'm saying if everything you do, she's whooping your ass, everything from mini golf to tennis to basketball to co-ed softball, if you are like a chump compared to her, I wonder if a lot of guys' ego could manage that.
Well, again, perspective, right? I think most guys listening... they're with a woman, they're on vacation, they're playing, I don't know, ping pong or anything, You name it, right?
Yeah.
The girl will always be like, "I'll whoop your ass." And the guy's like, "Oh, that's cute." Because in your mind, in your egotistical mind,
it's true.
The guy is like, "Yeah, sure you can. Let's go." It's not going to happen. But then how do you deal with it if it is a victory on her behalf every time?
Is that a humbling experience?
We hear this a lot with air hockey.
Air hockey.
I go to Dave and Buster's, and my wife, he's like, "Oh, I'm going to smoke you."
And you're like, "Yeah."
And it's like 8-0. Oh, she's like,
you know,
man.
Oh, damn. You're I wish I could have been doing this
since I was 7 at Chuck E. Cheese. Let's go.
Dude, I wish I could remember her name. I'm going to try to find it later to give her the proper shout out. But there's a female comic that I see all the time on TikTok, and she does a whole bit about how when she's on the road, she's, for some reason, a foosball champion. She must have, as a kid, always played with her dad and mom.
Yeah.
Like, she was... So, on the road, she hustles dudes at... Like, when she's doing comedy on the road, like, "Hey, like, want to play foosball?" And the guy's like, "Yeah, sure." And she'll be like, "All right, like, want to, like, bet on it?" And she whoops these dudes because every guy's like, "Oh, foosball? Sure, I'll bet
you." But your guy ego, you know, even if you're shooting baskets, you know, "I'll beat you in a game of 21. You're like, "No, you won't, but that's cute. Let's go." What if they really do? Is it humbling? Is it a turn on? Can you deal with it?
It's both, dude. I dated a girl, and you might say this is ridiculously insignificant, Monsi, but when you're a competitive guy, you want a competitive woman, but every guy's ego is slightly fragile. Now, there might be guys listening that are...
slightly.
By the way, Monsi, there are guys who'd be like, "I don't know about maybe you, Rich Davis." I promise you, every guy's ego...
Oh, I know.
Every guy has a little bit of an ego. You agree?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Even when they say they don't.
Even when guys are like, "I don't have an ego, I'll support you, whatever." Every guy has a slight ego.
Mm-hmm.
I dated a girl once. This is so insignificant, but for some reason, when she was growing up, she came from a bowling family. We went bowling. Yo, Danny G, this girl could bowl a 200. And I take pride in, like, yeah, I can hang. I'll bowl like a 180, a 160. I can hang, like, with regular people bowling. Yo, she was doing, like, fingertip spin bowling. And I'm like, "I don't know if I want to bowl with you."
Didn't she say, "Who do you think you are? I am."
Yeah, she did. "Who do you think you are? I am." So, I don't know. Would you be able to date a Garbine Muguruza, who
again,
is a two-time Grand Slam champion, if you're a regular guy?
I said you got to factor in everything that comes along with that, and that means, you know, she's probably prioritizing the gym. She's the one dipping out to play her game, where a lot of times, you know, maybe it's the guy in his Sunday softball or whatever it may be.
Or going golfing or something.
Yeah, going golfing. You know, she's the one who's like always fit and ready, and she's dressed like she's in a CrossFit competition. Like, is that something that you could handle, or is your ego too fragile?
I don't know. When I first met my wife, she was in way better shape than I was. And I sort of like took it as like a, like, we would go to the gym and she would give me pointers. And I sort of was turned on by that. I'll be honest. I was like, "Oh, you." I think if your ego is healthy, a healthy ego is going to be a little affected by things, but the big picture is, wouldn't you admire someone's talent, drive, and all that goes along with it?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I lead with a lot of ego, but it's a lot of fun, too. Like, I'm not serious about it. It's all in fun most of the time. I think I could handle it. I don't see why not. I think that's challenging. You know, I look at those things and I say, you know, maybe that would be a challenge to me to get in better shape and prioritize my health in a different way. Maybe that would be a great influence.
Competitive people, man or woman, no one wants to lose at anything. I remember you telling me when you and your girlfriend went out to a bar, you were slightly agitated that she just kept beating you in Connect Four. There was like a big Connect Four.
She beats me in all those silly games every time.
And there's a party that's like, really?
Every time. It's okay. A little different, though, than being, you know, losing a game of, like I said, basketball. Or she could just outschool you in the gym.
Nothing makes me happier when I see, Danny, you ever seen those videos where like a WNBA player schools some dude that thinks he's athletic?
Oh, yeah.
I love that stuff. But when it's you, it's not as fun.
So it's a two-prong doozy. Shoot your shot. It's a cool story.
Right.
But imagine you shoot your shot and you're with an elite athlete or an athlete who's just more athletic than you. Is that something your ego could handle? 877-99 on Fox. Is that a turn on? Is it hot? Is it something you've been through before?
You know, if you want to think next level, you could say athletic. Oh, if we end up together, she's going to pass along those amazing genetics to my child.
That's another great way to look at it, for sure.
There's a New York Giant who was married to an Olympian, and I remember thinking, like, yo, their kids are automatic. Like we're talking about two elite athletes.
It also
breeding
depends how you view athletic. Like, there's a lot of physically fit women that you've probably dated, and in the gym, they're in prime condition, but they don't have a skill. Can they shoot baskets? Can they throw a spiral?
What does that mean, though?
It doesn't mean anything. I'm saying it's what you define as athletic.
Broadway Joe Namath. Now, we all think of struggling.
Struggling.
It was a rough moment for him. You know,
he was,
you know.
Like I said, I don't know. Something about me, again, I know it's touchy probably for him. So I wish him a happy birthday, but just me as a nose-picking sports fan, I sort of like that clip.
I want to kiss you.
Yeah.
I mean, classic.
It was funny.
I mean, hey, you got to be responsible for your actions, right? But Joe Namath, a legend. Then I was talking to you off the air. I said, Cove, sometimes it's more important to be cool than good. And I think Joe Namath might be, Danny, safe to say Joe Namath way cooler than good?
Yeah.
Guy was wearing fur coats on the sideline.
Fur coats, good looking.
People loved that back then, though, too. Like, people loved. Think about the sports culture back then. If Muhammad Ali predicted a knockout and he got it, man, the legend grows.
Yeah,
like he predicted the victory.
There was the social media. There was the it's like the legend of Joe Namath predicting and guaranteeing a victory in a Super Bowl where they were huge underdogs.
We're too young to have seen him play, but looking at his stats and seeing all those interceptions, he must have been a Brett Favre type gunslinger.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think
I'm curious if any listeners old enough where you saw him play.
Yeah, but he had a persona about him.
That's like what it was, said, though.
He had a swag about him. Like, he had a cool nickname. He had all those elements, and then he had this legend that just grew when he predicted the Super Bowl victory.
I'm not saying he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, but I sort of am. I mean, like Refrigerator Perry, cool gimmick, right? Remember the fridge? That was like a short-lived fun thing, but we all remember
it was
Refrigerator
such a huge
Perry.
Moment for professional football that's why he's in. He was in New York, became the toast of the town. So I could understand why he would be in there, because the old adage goes, if you can tell the story of a sport without bringing up that player, then they don't belong in. But if you have to include them in your story to somebody about that league, then they belong in there.
Oh, Danny, that's a great story.
That was so well said. That was well said, honestly.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You can't tell the story of Super Bowl history without saying it all started with Bart Starr, Super Bowl I. And then you fast forward, it's like the biggest early Super Bowl memory for a lot of people was the Joe Namath prediction.
The finger wagon in slow motion.
He was the man, more cool than he was great on the field. In fact, he played 13 seasons. 11 of the 13 seasons, he had more interceptions than touchdowns. He only started all 14 games because back then it was a 14-game schedule. Only four times in his 13-year career did he play a full season. So we're talking about
him.
A guy that gave the Jets their only Super Bowl.
Yep.
Broadway Joe, cool guy. And let me add one more thing.
He was still cool and super gracious with welcoming Aaron Rodgers. Offered up the number if he wanted it, right? Like, he was still the face and sort of the welcoming committee of the New York Jets.
And when you look at Joe Namath off the field, we keep saying fur coat because that was such an image we all think of. If you weren't alive then, that's what you picture. If you were a kid of the 80s or 90s,
in New York disco dancing.
Joe Namath. Well, let's talk about
that's
off
Studio
the field.
Studio 54.
Dude, off the field, his IMDb. He was in a bunch of movies and on TV. Joe Namath made appearances on everything from Here's Lucy to The Brady Bunch, Sonny and Cher, Dean Martin Show, Love Boat, Fantasy Island, A-Team, Alf, Kate and Ally, Married with Children, The Simpsons. He was pop culture. So,
right.
If anything, the idea that Joe Namath was more of a cool figure.
Popularity.
And a winner.
Very popular player.
Than an actual, let's be honest, like if you line up the stats, his stats are probably comparable to someone that you'd be like, no way they're a Hall of Famer.
Danny G was saying, how is Jim Plunkett, who won two Super Bowls, not in the Hall of Fame?
Bro,
but a guy like Joe Namath is. Because you just said it. Being cool is sometimes more important.
And
it's memorable.
Jim Plunkett's
impactful.
Stats.
It's impactful.
Jim Plunkett's stats and accomplishments? You tell me they're... But he didn't wear a fur coat. And guess where Jim Plunkett wasn't, Danny G?
Yeah,
on Alf and I Love
right,
Lucy.
All
and,
those shows.
And freaking Love Boat.
I told Ramos, if Plunkett had won two Super Bowls in New York, he would have been in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Right away.
Different image to him for sure. And, you know, off the air, we were talking about these one-time doozies. And is it all you really need sometimes? Because Rich is convinced that, well, obviously, Joe Namath wouldn't be who he is.
I'm sorry.
If he didn't win.
I'm sorry. Just to
but
add,
there's guys like OBJ. Like, if he didn't have his one moment, if he didn't have that catch.
Oh, I'm convinced. Like,
would he have been as marketable and memorable?
Dude, no. Odell Beckham Jr. is a great example of a great NFL player. But if he didn't make a few circus catches.
That went completely viral.
That went,
right? That stuck in our memory.
That one-handed snag in the end zone that seemed like the greatest catch at the time in NFL history.
And he had all those highlight reels to back it up.
And in practice, he was doing that for the fans, you know, pregame. Odell Beckham Jr. is a guy that's good, but he became more cool than good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I wanted to add this one thing just to show how Joe Namath is so damn cool. Before we were even born, 1969, following his Super Bowl season, he had the Joe Namath Show. I'm like, what's the Joe Namath Show? The Joe Namath Show, 1969 talk show.
It's a variety show where I was juggling.
Juggling.
If I say mellow, what do you think?
Struggling.
Joe Namath and so Dick Shapp. It premiered on October 6, 1969. One season, 13 episodes, where he welcomed guests, and it was a variety show.
Jeremy's dad was on the show?
Yeah. So we're talking about a dude that was just a superstar in life. Let's go to Tim in Idaho, who says he's a little older, so he remembers seeing Namath play. What's up, Tim?
Hey, man. I love you guys.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you very much, man.
Where do you want me to start?
Do we have the right assessment that he was cooler than good?
No.
Fair. Tell us
all
why.
Right, and then tell all us right. Because I'm the stats would indicate that the guy threw a ton of picks and really didn't have any winning seasons.
And
really.
By the way, you know, we want to make it clear that we say these things respectfully. Hey, better than us. We never made it to the NFL.
If I met Joe Namath, I'd shake his hand of and tell
course.
Him it's an honor to meet him.
That's just our impression or the perspective that we have sometimes. If we're wrong, and
feel free to tell us, yeah.
And you Tim think was, you see it differently, by all means, let us know.
Was he like a Favre, okay. Tim, where he took a lot of chances with his passes?
Let me explain that to you, but I got to give you a little foundation.
Yeah.
Don't forget, when Joe Namath came to the Jets, he was wanted by the NFL also. This is when we're talking about the merger. And that Super Bowl victory really helped propel the AFL into the merger process, which was accelerated when the Chiefs won the following year. Now, keep in mind, Joe Namath was a very, very good quarterback at Alabama. And so when he was drafted...
Well, he was a first-round pick. You're right. He was a first-round pick.
Winning reputation.
Yeah. Yep. Now, he had this beautiful seven-step drop that was just unbelievable. Really quick. Quick release. And I think the reason why he threw a lot of picks was because he had George Sauer and Don Maynard as his receivers, and those guys were just going deep all the time. And the only reason I say that is because I was raised an Oakland Raider fan, and when we played them, the Mad Bomber, Daryl LaMonica, was throwing it down the field also. And don't forget, Oakland and New York was involved in the Heidi game. If you guys don't know what that is, look it up.
Yeah, that was when they interrupted the TV broadcast, right?
Yeah.
So is it safe to say he was a skillful quarterback, fun to watch, but just didn't play for
a good team.
But
you know, we got to also remember, thanks for the phone call, Tim.
Career.
We also have to remember that back then, even look at Montana stats or Elway, Marino, even gunslingers like Elway or Marino, the numbers average quarterbacks are putting up now are far superior to the elite quarterbacks of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Like, mediocre quarterbacks throw for 4,000 yards
It
now.
Was a running league back when he played.
So, you know, look at Montana in his prime. Montana had like 20-something touchdowns with a couple thousand yards. It was a different game. So stats aren't everything. It just seems like Namath cooler than good.
And that's what we're sort of talking out as we go live. The real point of the discussion was to say, hey, man, the guy's 80 years old. Congratulations there. But how the one moment really stands the test of time.
Well, sometimes to be a legend, you need that one moment. Like a David Tyree catching a ball on his helmet, or a David Freeze having a ridiculous postseason for the Cardinals, and he goes down in history as like the hometown hero. Doesn't matter what he did the rest of his career. You made your mark, and I think Danny made a great point, Covino, when he said that if you can't tell the story of that sport without including that person, then they're a Hall of Famer. You can't tell the story of the early AFL-NFL merger and the Super Bowl and the early days of you know, building the National Football League. You can't tell that story without Joe Namath. You can't.
Plus, he was a big star at Alabama under Bear Bryant, which is also one of the top programs in the 60s and stuff. So his name was definitely, it wasn't just a flash pan. It was out there for a while.
So just a cool guy, and he turns 80 today. So as we always say, Covino, always good to pay tribute to people when they're still with us.
Yeah, happy birthday, Broadway Joe. Like I said, there's a part of me that really loves, well, not only the one season wonder, even though he had a long career, you know, but that one magical season, you know, the one hit wonder. You made your mark, and there's so many one hit wonders, especially 80s one hit wonders and 90s one hit wonders that are still, like, I'll give you one. You may not know it by name, but if you heard it, you're like, oh yeah, because there's not a cover band in the world that doesn't play it. Like Harvey Danger, Flagpole Sitta. Like, you can't tell the story of One Hit Wonders or 90s rock without that song, 90s pop rock.
I always found it odd, if you want to rotate and shift to music for a second. I always find it...
But it had its impact in its moment.
I'm saying it must feel...
So you can say that band stunk, but you can say, yo, but they had a smash.
It must feel ultimately bizarre to a One Hit Wonder to think, how did I catch lightning in a bottle, but not having the ability to duplicate it. Like it's like the world, millions of people made this a number one song, but why can't I capture that again? That's got to be.
And I did. That's just one random
that's
one.
That's got to be the weirdest
feeling.
I picked
out of my hat here.
You know, I'll tell you what, not to name drop, but, you know, we're friendly enough with Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray. And he said the coolest feeling is when you get that second and third hit, because it sort of gives you the idea that, oh, I could do this for a career now.
He said that every morning meant more to him than Fly, because it took him out of that one-hit wonder conversation.
Yeah, when Sugar Ray had Fly, it was like, oh, one-hit wonder. Then you get Every Morning and Someday and When It's Over and a bunch of other Sugar Ray songs to bring up Mark McGrath. Yeah, then you realize, well, I guess for the rest of my career, I could play festivals and do different things. And yeah, it's...
To me, there's no shame in that, whether it be a one-season wonder or one-moment wonder, like you said, OBJ, or a one-hit wonder, because you still had that moment. And sometimes that moment carries you. Sometimes it could be a song you're still rocking out to that song 30 years later. So, hey, man, you made your mark. You made your impact. Happy birthday, Joe Namath.
Trying to think of the name of the song. I was trying to look it up while you were talking.
Of a song?
No, I was going to say, keep talking for one more second. I found it. I forgot the name of Malcolm Butler. I don't know why I was drawing a blank, but Malcolm Butler. Interception at the goal line in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, guy had, you know, guy had a moment. That's a moment.
You're
that
part of the history, man.
You can't tell the story of the Super Bowls without that moment. There's moments, and I think Joe Namath is the number one on the list of the moments. And again, just his personality and everything about it.
And I think we learned, if you're on the younger side of things, had a stronger skill set and was better than probably meets the eye or our impression when you look at the stats and when you talk about what you know of him today. Because my impression as a kid growing up in New Jersey, New York, is that he kind of only had that one dope season.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental health podcast. And each week, we try to help turn our mental health issues into mental wealth. And we dive in with everyone from the world of sports and entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who could help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. So each week, listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer, a mental health podcast on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, it's Covino and Rich, and NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started, it's simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes.
Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code CRSHOW, C-R-S-H-O-W. Take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code CRSHOW. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Hair thinning is not inevitable. Take control of your hair's future before it's too late with Nutrafol's clinically tested hair growth supplement for men.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com/men and enter promo code CRSHOW.
Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com/men, spelled Nutrafol.com/men, and enter promo code CRSHOW. That's Nutrafol.com/men, promo code CRSHOW. And with Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in 3 to 6 months.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Off the air talking about how impactful so many one-hit wonders actually were. So anything we said about Joe Namath wasn't to, you know, minimize his accomplishments, because I consider it to be super impactful regardless of if it happened only once. You know, Rich brought up Aha too, Take On Me, Aha. Like, you can't tell the story of the 80s and early 80s MTV without talking about Take On Me and
Aha. That's the analogy to end it on.
Yeah.
The way Danny said, you can't talk about the NFL history without including Super Bowl III, Joe Namath, the prediction, the guarantee victory.
The impact of the win.
The impact.
In the NFL.
Of the 18-point underdog guarantee. That's like, you're right, that's like telling the story of 80s music and MTV and leaving Aha, Take On Me out of it.
And that's just one of so many impactful one-hit doozies. So one season wonder, one-hit wonder, one-moment wonder. Hey, they had their moment.
But you know what we do every Wednesday? I love it. Let's go!
Covino and Rich get you over the middle of the week with Midweek Major.
Ooh, I love that.
We throw sports and pop culture headlines and topics at the fellas, and it's like the kids say.
That's so mid. Week, definitely major.
CNR scoring. Midweek Major.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that was a good one.
That was a good one, Danny. Yeah.
Wow.
That's from the depths.
Time for the, I had to reach into my inner LL Cool J for that one.
Yo, man, I feel like I smell Steakums from 1980-something that was on the bottom of your belly somewhere.
I have my Kangol hat on today.
Yo.
All right, so before we get to America's number one host Midweek Major and only host for this segment, we're going to roll the dice. I brought the love dice into the main studio. This is for home field advantage. Who gets to go first, Covino or Rich?
These dice are sticky, Danny G. You got something to tell us?
Right, let's go. The love dice.
I used hand sanitizer on it.
Okay. Nine.
I rolled a nine.
That's pretty good. Oh, it's tough to beat.
Let's see. Oh, yeah.
And Rich's roll.
Six.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, Covino's going to go first after I introduce America's number one host for Midweek Major, the most famous man from Scotch Plains, New Jersey, Spotty Boy.
Hey!
Hey, everyone.
Well, Judy Blume's a woman, so she's more famous than you.
That's true. That's true. There are plenty of other famous men from Scotch Plains. Anyway, hi, guys.
Hi. Hey,
all right. First up, prepare to see Travis Kelce on the big screen. I don't know if you heard about this. The Chiefs tight end just signed a deal with CAA, the Creative Artists Agency for Off-Field Representation, which could pave the way for a career in Hollywood. As you know, he hosted SNL earlier this year, Saturday Night Live, right after the Super Bowl. He had his dating show. He does his podcast with his brother. Hollywood Kelce is this Midweeker Major.
Well, I hope, first off, that CAA does more for him than they did for us.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, so that's my first
of bitterness
wish.
In here.
No, hey, it all worked out. But I think this is a mid story.
That's so mid.
Not that major, because I still like Travis Kelce, the football player, but good for him that he's looking ahead. It's not an easy or guaranteed road to make it from the football field and then to the big screen. It doesn't always translate. He may be football funny or football charismatic, but it doesn't always translate on TV and in entertainment. So I wish him the best, but it's kind of mid.
I mean, I think it's major. He's going to be a movie star.
Nah.
I think he should hope to follow in the footsteps
of Joe Namath.
O.J. Simpson.
Oh.
All right, well, maybe not totally in the footsteps of O.J. Simpson, but O.J. up until the Naked Gun movie. So it's not easy. It's not easy, man. In the world of sports and entertainment, John Cena, The Rock, Gronk.
Bautista.
Peyton Manning. Bautista is sort of a movie star now. It's not easy, but Kelsey's got the personality.
All right,
people like him.
Let me ask you this. How many football players can you name that were box office draws? I'm not saying he can't make an impact and have his moment. I would never want to take that away from him. The guy's great at what he does, but how many can you name?
Maybe it's got to be a first one day, Covino.
All right.
Someone's
well,
got a breakthrough.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to say it's a major story that he's trying to do it.
All right. Fine.
It's kind of mid.
So, Jay Cutler, I know you guys are big fans, has gone from playing for the Bears to hunting them. You like that, Monsi?
The
former QB posted a photo of him with his kill, which was a cinnamon black bear in Big Sky Country, Montana. He told Outsider, which I think has to do with the outside, that he used a scope bulk action rifle for the kill and showed just how skilled of a shot it was. Apparently, he goes hunting regularly. He posted a photo last year of him tracking this deer for years, insane. Midweek or major?
Only because I'm not a big hunting guy. I'm going to say mid. I know a lot
That's
of people
so
are. I saw the cinnamon grizzly that he got. Props to him. Hey, if he's happy after playing football and this is his thing, I'm glad he found his thing. So it's kind of a mid story. I saw it on TMZ.
I'm going to say it's a weak-ass story.
Weak.
I mean, listen. If it's for population control, I get why people hunt deer and other things for, you know, because they ruin crops and population. But to just hunt a bear for the hell of it, sort of weak. Unless, of course, did it steal his picnic basket?
No, Rich.
Well, okay, he's one of many athletes who hunt on the side. Like, I know Carson Wentz is a big hunter, so he's just joining that club. Our buddy Derek Wolfe, remember Wolf. He caught that saber-toothed tiger?
I mean, I'm not
Sometimes it's necessary. Tiger was a menace.
Listen, I'm not anti-hunting. I'm just saying it's sort of a weak story.
All right, fine.
What you got?
That's good enough for me. I know you guys love trash reality TV. Huge fans of trash TV.
Well, not all of it. I love Love is Blind.
And The Bachelor. It's not trash because it's on Fox.
Yeah,
never mind. So if you're looking for a show to watch this summer, a new show set to debut Monday called Stars on Mars. I don't know if you've seen the advertisements for this.
I did see
Stars
one.
Stars on Mars, where 12 actors, musicians, athletes, and TV personalities will compete to see who's the best at colonizing Mars. I don't know where they come
they
up with this.
They set up a fake, like, Mars
set? Yeah, they
set
up, like, a fake Mars, like, simulation where they have to see who is the best. It's hosted by Captain Kirk himself, William Shatner. It's going to feature athletes like Lance Armstrong, Marshawn Lynch, Adam Rippon, Ronda Rousey, Richard Sherman.
Okay.
And a few other, like, celebrities mixed in, like Ariel Winter from Modern Family's on there. It's described.
I would have said completely weak until you named all those names.
It's some pretty big
and
names
William
are
involved. Shatner is involved. I'm just thinking by 2020-something, we should be already, like, figuring out how we're doing shows on actual Mars, not pretending. So,
oh, you thought we'd be on Mars already?
Yeah, like, therefore, I find it kind of mid. I would have said weak
That's
completely.
You know.
But you named some big names, so I'm kind of intrigued.
Did you ever see The Martian? Takes a while to get there.
Yeah, but
I have a question. Does the Mars affiliate, will they pick up our show? Because that's a factor if I'm going to like this
that's
show.
That's true.
And what is the point of this?
To see, yeah. Is it like who's like a bad colonizer, right?
The
and they
summer.
Get kicked off?
That's the point.
Okay. It's the summer program.
Yeah, they're just competing
bad
to see
colonizer.
Who's the best
colonizer.
I don't know what this means.
Who made the corn?
I want to be on Lance Armstrong's team. That guy will cheat to win.
Is it who has the biggest tribe, I think? Because Antonio Cromartie should be on the show.
Marshawn Lynch is going to be high the whole time. I don't know. I'll watch it. I think this is mid, but you know what? It might be a dumb summer watch.
Right.
You know,
it's mid with some pretty big names, though.
I know. The names are surprising.
Yeah. I mean, they put you guys on Fox. Why not this show?
All right. Wow. We all know if they asked us, we would be on this show.
Stars on Mars.
All right. Floyd Mayweather, as you may or may not know, huge sneakerhead. He posted a video this week of 100 pairs of Air Force Ones that he has in boxes and him stacking them up inside his closet in actually a very awkward way. Like, I don't know why he chose to, like, stack them all from floor to ceiling.
He's 5 foot nothing. He stacked them 100 feet.
He, like, climbed up a ladder and you can see the tower, like, shifting back and forth. Anyway, apparently he only wears them once, so they stay gleaming white, and then he takes the pair and he donates them.
So he's living the fantasy.
He's living the fantasy that I know you guys have, where you want to just have a new pair of socks every day.
Well, that's attainable. I think I'm going to do that next year. I did the math. It's not that expensive.
But anyway, midweek or major?
This is mid, pun intended, because they're mid Air Force Ones. They're mid tops. But I think it's only mid because it's so extremely wasteful that it makes me want to barf. This guy wears his sneakers once, and then does what with them? If he tosses them.
He donates them.
He does donate them.
He donates them to charity.
It's so excessive that it makes me want to barf. For that reason, I say mid, but he is living the dream.
Because he donates them, it goes from weak to mid.
Okay.
That's something.
Because he's doing something nice. But when you're...
But have you seen it, though? His closet is stacked to the ceiling.
You have to see it.
It's ridiculous.
So
when you're Floyd, and you make hundreds of millions of dollars, team, if each pair of sneakers costs a couple hundred bucks, he's only spending $70,000+ a year, which is a lot. But when you're Floyd Mayweather, it's not that much to wear a pair of sneakers once and donate them.
Yeah, but you can't get two or three or a week's worth out of Air Force Ones. I know you want him, you know, crease free, and you want him gleaming white, but that's just
it goes with his image, bro.
You also have to see the video. Like, if you had 100 pairs, like 100 boxes of shoes, you might stack them like 10 rows of 10. I swear, it's 2 rows of 50. I don't know why he stacked them that way.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
You got to see the visual to the story.
I mean, he's playing sneaker Jenga on the side.
Yeah, it's like that.
Sir Charles Barkley, is hopping on the weight loss drug trend. In a recent interview this week, he said he's down 60 pounds, not with Ozempic, but with the drug Mounjaro.
Aren't they similar?
Very. He started at 352 pounds, is down to 290 pounds.
Wow.
And he said, I quote, he's starting to feel like a human being, not a fat ass anymore. His goal is to get down to 270, which is just 20 pounds shy of his playing weight, which was 250. So he's starting to eat healthier, getting back out, you know, working out and everything. And he said his doctor told him there's a lot of fat young people, but not a lot of fat old people because they're all dead.
Yeah.
So it really
yeah.
was like a shock to him. Midweek or major?
I think that's major. I think that's great yeah, inspiration. He makes a great point. I would have said mid until you made that last point.
Right. Yeah.
How many giant, he's a big dude. How many, you know, almost 7 foot tall, 400 pound men do you see walking around at an old age?
You know,
that's great. I think that's a great example to lead by. I mean, you could say it's a shortcut, but if it takes the weight off and it gives them some extra years, hey, the more we get Charles Barkley, I find him and Shaq to be extremely entertaining, so yeah. I'm all for it.
I can't believe he was 352 pounds.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big
the
guy.
I think it's the height's deceiving, okay, Ramos, because yeah. when you think about it, because I'm like, really? And then you're like, well, he is like, you know, what, 6'6", 6'8", or something? So, yeah, it makes sense,
it's like
right?
take you and stretch it. You know, it's like yeah. we'd all be. Yeah.
I back up, Camino. I got nothing to add. Next story. No, because I think it's Fine. Great. Honestly, you don't see a lot of old. It's a sad reality. You don't see a lot of old, big, fat guys. So I want Charles to live long. Good choice.
Okay, great. All right. Speaking of weight loss, if you're heading to New Zealand, you might want to think twice about what you're eating before you head to the airport. New Zealand's national airline, Air New Zealand, said it's going to start weighing its passengers as part of a survey they're doing before they head on the flight. They're saying they weigh everything that goes on the plane. They weigh your luggage, the cargo, the food, but they never weigh the passengers. So as a way to figure out the average weight per passenger to calculate for future flights, over the next month, they want to weigh 10,000 passengers.
Makes sense.
And see what the average weight is.
All right.
They're not going to release the weights. It's not going to be public.
It's not like a
anonymous
carnival where the numbers
yes,
are.
Yes. They're not going to announce it. It's just they're doing it as an anonymous survey.
Wait, the person behind the desk isn't guessing their weight first?
No.
Okay.
Midweek or major?
This is a mid-story. Look, safety,
that's
priority,
something.
And I think that's great, right? You want to put everyone's safety first. But first of all, I have no plans of going to New Zealand. And I think the only people that are upset by this story are the slob kebabs that are worried about how much they weigh.
Slob
so,
kebabs.
Don't shame me.
Yeah. No. So, I mean, like, think of how many flights would have not crashed if we took these proper precautions.
Yeah.
Who'd still be alive?
Exactly. I think this is, it's like so mid. This story
that's
is like,
so mid.
Because who? Someone going to get offended by weighing? If I have had, there's been times
well, that's
where,
why it's a story, because some people are offended by that.
Weight on a plane.
And to me, that's ridiculous.
Weight on a plane is such a weird thing to begin with. Like, how many times have you weighed your bag and they're like, oh, sir, your bag's 51 and a half pounds. They have to start moving your chonies from one bag to a carry-on and you have a boot in your laptop bag because you're just trying to get your bag to 50. Weigh me. I don't care. You're weighing my bag. You're weighing everything. If it's for a reason, do it. Who
well,
cares?
We were saying off the air, I mean, isn't that why Aaliyah's plane crashed?
Yeah.
Because of a weight imbalance?
They actually do that a lot. They actually do weigh people. You have to provide your weight when you fly smaller planes. So yeah. It makes sense. And let me sneak in one more just because it's Tom Brady. So off to Sardinia, Italy, where Tom Brady was spotted on a yacht with the hospitality guru, David Grootman, who runs restaurants in Miami. So obviously that's why they linked up. But also on this boat, also on the yacht, Leo DiCaprio, who you may know dated Giselle in the early 2000s for about 5 years.
Oh, boy.
So possibly a little awkward encounter on the shores of Sardinia.
So the
midweek or major?
Yeah, the you see the group picture? They're on opposite sides of the picture.
Yeah. Oh, so they weren't bro-ing
high five. They weren't bro-ing down.
They weren't having a bro-down showdown?
Yeah.
This is a mid-story.
Okay,
I'd say weak, but you got two big names in there. I never heard of the Grootman guy. But Leo DiCaprio, one of the greats. And, of course, Tom Brady. Anything he does makes news. So, yeah, it's a mid-story. Yeah. But I like the awkward tension there. I do. I think that's interesting.
Or maybe it's not. Yeah. They're both exes now.
Maybe, yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, Monty, I ask you as we get into your update, who's more mammoth? Who's a bigger star, Tom Brady or Leo?
I think it depends on who you ask.
That's a good question, though. We're asking Monty Bolaños.
Ooh, I was about to say something inappropriate.
Honestly, you were going to
say it.
Were you about to tell us who you'd rather?
Yes, I was going with that. Yeah, because to me, they're both stars. You know what I mean?
That's so a whole other question. Tom, because he's in better shape.
Nah, Leo DiCaprio.
Oh, it's really hard, but I think I'm going to go Leo DiCaprio.
Wow.
It's real close, guys. Okay. It's real close. Just so you know, moving on. I'm getting flustered over here. Waze announced that tennis great Roger Federer will be available to give you directions in three different languages.
Yeah, but does he have like a memorable voice? Like, yeah. If you told me it was like Morgan Freeman or something, like, that's one thing. Like, yeah, Roger Federer, you could tell me it's a random dude. Ramos, do you know Federer's voice by?
Not really.
Don't take this away.
I
don't
want Ramos to be on my
Waze. Roger Federer.
Thank you.
Don't take this away.
Turn left.
English, French, and German.
No,
stop
I want Darth Vader on mine.
Don't take this away from Roger Federer. Stop it. Game one of the NBA Finals is tomorrow, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Heat will take on the Nuggets. Eric Spoelstra has officially ruled out Tyler Hero for game one. The last thing I'll tell you, I saw it on Sports Illustrated that Max Strus is the real MVP. Apparently on their way back after winning the Eastern Conference Finals, he went up and down the plane to make sure that every staff member and media reporter got a picture with the trophy.
That's cool.
That's amazing.
By the way, can I get Rob Parker on my navigation? Like, make a right for burger and fries.
Nah, yeah, that's more memorable.
I would take that instead.
I like that.
All right, thank you, Monsi.
Not a bad idea.
U-turn! You miss your turn!
Thank you.
That was the worst turn in the world!
You should get that, Rich. That's a great idea.
Focus.
All right, hey.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a drive from Mike Trout. See you later. That is long gone. Almost to the concourse in left field. Mike Trout rips one. And the Angels have a 2-0 lead.
Courtesy of Angels Radio Network, Trout's fourth longest home run in his history, in his career. It's the progressive play of the day.
I have a corny question. On the day that we celebrate Joe Namath's 80th, on a day that we say Clint Eastwood's 93. Who's in there? You know who turned 60 something today? 62. Marty McFly's mom, Lorraine McFly, Leah Thompson. Her birthday as well. Corny question. Mike Trout hit his fourth biggest home run, right? Ever? Fourth longest. The average guy or gal, Monsi, Danny G, Ramos, Spotty, Covino. When you think back to Little League, junior high school, college, intramural, rec sports, do you remember like your best hit or your best like clutch three-pointer? Like, do you remember your best like amateur sports moment? Like, Covino, could you look back and say, oh yeah, I remember my biggest home run? Monty, do you remember like your best moment in volleyball or softball?
No, my best moment was probably in basketball, and I was playing Valley Christian High School. I went to GAR. and I hit 7 3-pointers.
Whoa.
I ended with like 29 Ooh. Points.
Damn.
And then I got a technical because I left my hand up
wow.
on one of them. I got a technical. I was like, come wow. on, ref.
Man. Swaggy Bolaños.
I remember. Swaggy Bolaños is your new name.
Yeah, I love
like
it.
I'll take it.
Swaggy Bolaños on
I
the
think,
updates.
I think what I'm about to say could be relatable. I don't know. I remember my first like yeah. home run at, you know, in Little League or whatever, right? But I was young. I went 275 feet into the next field.
Oh, wow.
Right? But as a little kid, that was a bomb.
That's a bomb.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I remember that because I remember getting to school the next day in fifth grade, and one of my buddies were like, 275 feet. And I remember one home run I hit in high school, right?
Yeah.
And you ever remember those that it didn't feel like anything, but it just
Mm-hmm. That's the best feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're like, wow, I don't even know how that happened, but I guess I got to get a hold of it or something. I don't know. I barely swung at that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember like one in particular.
I just wonder if everyone on an amateur childhood or like rec league,
sure.
you know, has that memory of like, I just brought it that day.
Yeah, rec league. I played in the same softball league you're in right now, Rich, at Balboa Park.
Yeah.
And the team, I was new to the team.
Absolutely.
And everybody was fired up for this game. It was like my third game with the team. I came up, two guys on. I hit a double down the third baseline, walk off, win. The team's going nuts, and the captain of the team presented me with a game ball. they had never beaten that team before.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was the number one team in that A-League, and I had no idea. And the reason I went up there and had no pressure on myself, I didn't know.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So, yeah, just I think I just wonder if a guy like Mike Trout, when he hit that bomb today, almost 500 feet, I wonder if Mike Trout, even when you're one of the greatest players of all time, do you think Mike Trout's like, well, that's definitely one of the biggest home runs?
Like, did he feel it?
Like, did he feel like that was a bomb? Because you hit home runs every, you know, from literally.
And I always remember, I always think, does he remember the highlight because he keeps watching it back? Or does he remember it from his perspective?
No, that's a good question, too. But I
always think that.
I do wonder, when you are that level of Mike Trout, where you're one of the greatest ever, do you think Mike Trout even acknowledges, like, that wasn't a line drive that made it over the fence. That wasn't a home run. That was a bomb. I just wonder if those guys even acknowledge
some
that.
Of them have to stand out. Yeah, I would
like,
imagine
there are times where,
out.
You know, I'm a Mets fan. There are times Pete Alonso gets a hold of one where I'm like, this wasn't a just made into the fourth row of the outfield. This was a upper decker bomb. And I just wonder if those guys like remember those. Like, yeah, I got all
right.
that one. So, hey, enjoy your rec league sports. Enjoy your baseball tonight because, you know, we don't got any no NBA tonight. Tomorrow we got to wait for game one. We'll get all chalked up and fired up for tomorrow.
We'll keep you fired up. We'll give away more bribery balls. So giveaways tomorrow. We'll give away extra tomorrow. And we'll discuss some old school when 50 hits.
And in the meantime, have a good night. Are you going to... You gonna have an Al Pacino type of night?
Don't mind if I do.
I'm gonna get someone pregnant.
Yeah,
what?
That's the other big story.
You, Monty, you heard that story?
No.
Al Pacino's girlfriend is expecting. He's 82 and she's 29.
She's 29. And speaking of Clint Eastwood's birthday, she
joking.
Also dated Clint Eastwood.
Oh, man.
82. She dated a bunch of old guys.
I'm good. I didn't need to know that.
Why don't you see? She likes low-hanging. Anyway. This girl was with Mick Jagger, Clint Eastwood, and now she's having Al Pacino's baby. And she's in her 20s.
Hoo-ah. Yeah, it's a wild
story.
She
doesn't have daddy issues. She has a grandpa issue.
She has great grandpa issues.
Oh, goodness.
And again, you know, it's crazy that we have De Niro and Pacino in the same conversation.
Yeah, both they're going to go to the daddy daycare together. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Until then, arrivederci, baby.
See you in the promised land.
Good night.
Goodbye.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Any college baseball fans out there, if you're traveling to see your team and need a place to stay, two words for you, Graduate Hotels.
We stayed at the Nashville location for the SEC tournament. It was awesome. Beautiful rooms, cool vibe, and perfect location. They have over 30 hotels in the best college towns, and get this, they'll give you up to 30% off your stay with code CRSHOW. That's CRSHOW. Good at any Graduate Hotel, any location, up to 30% off. Book today at graduatehotels.com.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.